Welcome to the Family Story Podcast, where we talk about family relationships, important family events, and most of all, family stories that can be passed on for generations to come. I'm your host, Rick Jensen, and I'm glad you've joined us today. So sit back, listen, learn, and love as we talk about your family in this episode of the Family Story Podcast. Welcome to the Family Story Podcast. We're so excited to have Sister Ellie Christensen here with us today, who has just recently returned from the Kobe, Japan mission. Ellie, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
So Sister Christensen, tell us a little bit about your feelings when you got your mission call to Japan. What were your thoughts?
Oh my goodness. I definitely was not expecting it whatsoever. I think I thought, like everyone else, you're probably going to go somewhere Spanish speaking or somewhere in South America, especially because I studied Spanish and I had done some humanitarian trips and had a lot of spiritual experiences when it came to Latin culture. And so I was like, oh yeah, I'm for sure going to go down there and do some things like that. But then when I remember right before I opened my call, I was obviously very anxious and very nervous, and I just was like, oh my gosh, I just want to love wherever I go. And I remember when I opened my call, like right before I read it, you could just feel the spirit, like just opening it. And I just remember thinking, okay, it doesn't matter where I go because that'll be my mission and I'll love it no matter what. And then I remember reading Kobe, Japan, and I was like, what? That's crazy. I just never in a million years would have even thought that was my mission. But as soon as I read it, then it felt right. I didn't know why, because I didn't really know a lot about Japan, but I knew that was my mission as soon as I read it. And I was so excited, even though I was scared and just kind of anxious and not knowing a lot. I just knew it was right and it felt right.
Now, you were in the Mission Training Center, which is a place where missionaries go before they actually go on their mission in the mission area.
Right.
And you start to learn some things. Tell me about your experience in the Mission Training Center, about learning the language, and, and tell me about excitements and fears and frustrations, and what were your thoughts?
Right. Well, I was in the MTC for 9 weeks, which is a pretty long time, but I ended up loving the MTC. I had a really awesome district, which really, really helped me. And we were all in it together. And I remember one of the first funny things though that happened when I entered the MTC is most of my district, they were either one of their parents were Japanese or they had studied Japanese in high school or something like that. They had some kind of relationship with Japan. And I remember they would ask me, they're like, oh, so how do you know Japan? Did your dad serve there or something or anything like that? And I'm like, no, I have no relationship with Japan. And they'd be like, wait, why'd you get called here? And I'm like, I don't know. I guess I'll find out. And that was kind of like a question that I had in the MTC. I was just so anxious to go out and see why the Lord wanted me to go to Japan of all places, but especially when it came to learning the language, because it was such a hard language and I didn't even know how to even introduce myself or anything. And I just remember being so stressed and like, oh my gosh, how am I going to do this? And it was so amazing because you're only there for 9 weeks, and not saying that I became fluent in the language, but you definitely could see the power of God when you put in the work, and he would just be able to help you teach and do the things that you needed to do that day in Japanese. And then, of course, just every single day was such an amazing spiritual experience, just being surrounded by so many good people and all the devotionals and the music and just you trying to be a missionary. And it was just such a surreal experience.
So you asked the question to yourself while you're in the MTC, why did I get called to Japan? Why did the Lord call me to Japan? Why did the Lord call you to Japan? Because I hear some people say, oh, well, because that's the place where I could learn. I would like you to go into detail. Why do you think the Lord called you to Japan?
Right. And I think honestly, like sometimes I won't be able to fully answer that question until, you know, later in my life where things will come up and I'll think, wow, like that's so amazing, and see the miracles that I didn't maybe see while I was there. But I think one thing that I really learned to love was the Japanese culture and just how things work there and how the people act. And it just really flowed with my personality. The way I had to teach the gospel was such a cool and a unique way. And I think it just really like made sense to me. And at first it didn't, but it just felt like the way I wanted to teach people and the way I wanted to share the gospel was perfect concerning the Japanese people and the ways that they thought. And I remember I always thought before the mission you get called to like the people, and like that's maybe specifically like investigators or people you find. But I never thought of it to be the members of the church either. I didn't realize how much I would be involved with members until I became a missionary. And I remember just all the relationships that I found with the members as well, and how much I was able to help them and strengthen them. And I think it was also for them as well that I was called to Japan.
Oh, that's great. It's good to be able to figure that out. You know, you mm-hmm. mentioned, I don't know what it's going to be for my future, but right. for right now, this is what it is. That's great to be yeah. able to see that. If you could relive one day on your mission, what day would that be? Tell me about that day.
Let me think about that. Okay. This is just the first one that popped into my head, probably because it was really recent, but this last Christmas that we had, obviously in Japan, they don't really celebrate Christmas. It's just not something they do. The only thing they do is eat KFC chicken and chocolate cake for whatever reason. That's the culture they have there. And I never knew why. And they don't know why either, but that's just what they do. But I loved Christmas season because you could naturally bring up Christ, because they usually liked Christmas, like the idea of and the lights and the fun. And so it was fun to show them really what the real meaning was. And I remember on Christmas Day, we had a lot of fun things. And one in specifically, we went to the Eki, which is the train station, and we like all wore Santa hats and we did caroling. And a lot of people don't know carols or like hymns or anything like that, but you could tell that the spirit was there through the hymns, and people would walk by and stop and listen to us, and they would take pictures and videos, and it was just something that they felt that was different. And it was really cool, and I loved doing that and just telling them, do you know what Christmas is and like why we do it? And just telling them it's because of Jesus Christ, and tell them really who he is. And I remember we had like a couple, probably not, like a half an hour before we had to run to the church, and we had a Kaiwa, which is an English class that night. And we had like a half an hour, and it was me and my two companions. We were in a trio, and we had like, I can't remember how many Book of Mormons, but I think like 8 like wrapped Book of Mormons, something around there. And we were like, dang, we didn't get to wrap the, like hand these out, because you know you have until Christmas to hand them out. And I was like, let's just do it. Let's just hand out as many as we can. And we handed out all the Book of Mormons in that little time. And it was so fun. And we were just so happy and so giddy. We were like, oh my gosh, this is the best Christmas ever. And I remember we went to Ikaiwa, our English class, and then we had a little Christmas party for them and told them about the real meaning of Christmas again, and sang hymns with them and made them cute little gingerbread and showed them how to have hot cocoa and stuff like that. And it was just so fun. And I remember just riding home, and then we watched the Nativity that night, and it was just like the real meaning of Christmas. It was everything that you would want it to be, because it focused on the Savior, and that was so fun. I loved it.
What a great experience though. Thanks. Yeah, thanks for like sharing that with us. Another question for you, like share one of your favorite experiences from your mission.
Oh man, there's so many. But it was probably the one of the investigators that I found that was like probably one of the biggest miracles of my mission. But it was when I first started Kakogawa, and that was known as like a struggling area. And I was really nervous to go there. I remember on my way to that area, I ran into some sisters, and they're like, oh, Christensen Shimai, where are you going? And I was like, oh, Kakogawa. They just gave me these looks like, oh, good luck. Like just like these looks. And I was like, oh no. And we were moving to an elder's apartment, which is a whole another nightmare. And we were like, oh my goodness, this is going to be great. And we started there, and it wasn't like every day is great, but it was definitely hard. And I just really was struggling because we weren't finding anyone to teach. And it's hard because you're like, Heavenly Father, don't you want us to find people? Like, you know, we're ready to teach people. And I just remember studying really hard how to teach better, because I was like, I'm just going to be ready for when I meet that person, so I'll be able to teach like well and stuff, and especially in Japanese and stuff like that. And I remember just praying every day, just saying, please just help us get there. And I remember I woke up one day and I had this random apartment building pop up into my head. And I was like, oh, we should go house that apartment, which is so not effective. And especially in Japanese culture, you just don't do that. It's not very effective. But I had an impression that we should go there anyways. And so we planned it in the schedule and we rode our bikes out there and started knocking, and not a lot happened, but my companion like turned to me and she's like, there's someone waiting for us on the third floor. I was like, okay. And so we go up there and we knock on the door, and there's this old man that opens the door, and it's in the middle of the summer, and so he's just standing there like all the old men do, and just in his underwear, and that's it.
Oh dear.
I know, it was not very fun. And usually when that happens, because sometimes it does, you just kind of give him a little handout and then be on your way. But I had a feeling to keep talking to this man, and my poor companion, she was just horrified, but we kept on talking to this man, and I showed him this Book of Mormon pamphlet, and I asked him if there was anything that stood out to him or a question that he had a question about, and he said that he was interested in where do we go after we die. And so we kind of talked about that a little bit and kind of caught his interest, and I asked him if we could come back another time, you know, when we could bring a member and maybe have a better, you know, situation to teach him in. And he was like, yeah, that's fine. And so we came back later that week with a member, and I remember we started talking to him and just in his apartment, and you could just tell in this man's like face and just the way he was, that he was just not in a very good place in his life, and he was just kind of lost, and maybe he didn't realize it, but he was searching for something. And I just remember like thinking, oh man, like this man needs the gospel. And but you just don't know if they're going to take it in, you know. But I remember we talked to him and asked him if he believed in God and stuff, and he told us that he didn't really believe in God, that maybe he would, because there's so many bad things in the world that he would think that there would have to be good in the world, so there maybe could be a God. And we just testified him that that was true, and I remember we gave him a Book of Mormon, and he was actually really excited about it, and we just simply taught him who God is and how to pray, and told him to start reading. And that was just the beginning of something so great. And we met with him a lot. He couldn't work and stuff, and so we were able to meet with him a lot, probably a couple times a week, and he was just taking everything that we were saying. And even though there were things that he didn't really understand, he was willing to try to pray about it and to apply it, and he had the faith to act. And this man like literally changed so much. His countenance changed. He just became like this new person. And I remember we were able to go grab a suit for him, an old elder suit from the home. What's it called in English? The mission home. And I remember sitting there in sacrament, and he was sitting there in his suit surrounded by the members, and he was taking the sacrament. And it was just the greatest feeling, because he just was a totally different person than he was just when we found him or when we met him. And it was so cool because he was just doing those simple things that we're asked to do, to pray and read the scriptures and to come to church. And you could tell that his relationship with God was there, and he really knew that Jesus Christ was real. And even though he had never thought about that, he never knew who Jesus Christ was, just like a couple months before, he knew for a fact that it was real and that the atonement was something that was powerful and something that was changing him. And I think it's interesting because I knew that I had been changed by the atonement throughout my mission, but I didn't really understand how or how it worked. And to see someone in front of me go through that, then I could see the power right like in front of me. And it was so cool to see that man change, and just to see that it can't just be like the gospel. It's not just like little things that are like, oh, that would be good to do. It's like real things that come from God, and it's like powerful and amazing. And so that was so cool.
Thank you for sharing that with us.
Yeah.
You probably had an opportunity to share your testimony with that man too.
Right.
But in his own language.
Mm-hmm.
Would you mind sharing your testimony in that language with us right now?
Yeah. それから日本語で書きたいと思います。本当に私は神様が私たちを愛しておられるだとしています。イエス・キリストは生きておられるだとしています。イエス・キリストがこの地域に来て、贖いを行いしてくださいました。ですから、イエス・キリストの贖いの力を使うことによって、何でも乗り越えることができるだとしています。皆さんが弱さや苦しみがありますが、イエス・キリストの戒めを守ることによって、 本当に幸せと喜びと平安を感じる、これができます。私の伝道に学んだことは、生活の中にイエス・キリストは私の中心になったら、すべてのことはうまくいくなるだとしています。本当に、私は私の伝道が大好きでした。何回も奇跡を見、神様の愛を感じたことに感謝しています。イエス・キリストの御名によって祈り、証しいたします。アーメン。
Amen. I don't know what you said except for that last word.
Amen.
But I appreciate you sharing that with us. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Thank you. Clearly, you learned the language on your mission. What things did you learn that you think will have the biggest impact on your life?
I think just make Jesus Christ the center of your life. I remember my mission president, when I was leaving and we had our exit interview, he asked me, he said, what is the most important thing you can do in your life? And what's the most important decision? That's what he said. And I thought he was going to go into a whole like marriage talk and stuff, you know, that's the most important decision. And he was like, it's not marriage. And I was like, oh, okay. And then I was thinking about it and I said, oh, to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, to follow Jesus Christ. And he was like, yes, that's it. And if you follow Jesus Christ and you follow him, then every other decision, whether it's marriage or school or whatever, whatever you do in your life will fall into place because you'll be putting God and Jesus Christ first. And I think just throughout my mission in my life, I've seen when I've put trust in him and really humbled myself before him, then everything just worked out. Even if I couldn't see it in the moment, it all worked out. And one of the things I really loved, I think it's in Alma 32 when it talks about faith, but it says, blessed are those who aren't compelled to be humble, but who are always humble before God. And I thought about that a lot, my mission, where I don't want to be this someone who only turns to God when I have nowhere to go, or I don't want to turn to God just because I need to be humbled or I have no other option, but I want to turn to God because I want to talk to him every day. And I know he knows what's best for me. And I think just continuing to look to Jesus Christ and, like I said, make him the center of our lives. Because there'll be always things in the world, especially since I've been back, where they'll say, oh, this is how you find happiness, or this is how you'll be successful, or this is what's most important in your life. But I've realized that those things are great, but you won't find the best happiness or the most joy unless you are following Jesus Christ. And I've really seen that on my mission, where I really was so happy just because I could give my all to him and I didn't have to worry about anything else except for serving him and his children. And I think when you just put that first in your life, and obviously it's hard to do that, but when you strive to do that, then he'll make it possible, and you'll have the greatest life that you could ever ask for.
Thank you. What a great lesson to learn for people who listen to this, family members or future children or even friends.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great lesson to know. Okay, so you served a mission.
Mm-hmm.
And you talked about, you know, giving that sacrifice to God.
Mm-hmm.
That's 18 months of your life. So there's two parts to this question. Was it worth it? And why do you think it was worth it? And second, why do you believe God accepted your sacrifice?
Why it was worth it? Well, I can tell you my mission was definitely worth it 100%. There's just so many things that you get from a mission that you can't get anywhere else. And it's just such a unique experience. And I could not imagine my life without it. I had a testimony before I left. I wouldn't say that I didn't. I knew that there was truth in the church, but I think a mission gave me an opportunity to take all those things that I had learned all my life and put it into practice that I never had been able to before. And when you put into practice the things that you learn, especially in the gospel, and that's when you really come to know for yourself that it's true, and that's when you really become converted. And not to say that I couldn't have become fully converted without going on a mission, But I think being able to do that on a mission was the greatest way. But the beauty of that was when I was on my mission, I wasn't thinking about that. You're able to go see so many other people be converted and being strengthened by the gospel. And you're really strengthened by them as well. And just to see that change in people and just to see God working in people's lives and in your life was so amazing. I just don't know how I could live my life without all those amazing, amazing, amazing experiences. And you definitely learn to, like I said, trust in the Lord so much. And I think it gave me that perspective of how I can continue to trust in Him and really strengthen that relationship. Just on just a spiritual level, it was just something that I think I really needed and can hopefully and will continue for the rest of my life. And but at like the mission really blesses you in every single aspect, whether it's spiritually or mentally. Even though it's hard, it really helps you learn how to find help through the Atonement Jesus Christ mentally. And even like intellectually, you're learning a language, you're learning how to teach people, you're learning how to get along with others. And just really in every aspect in your life, you learn to love the people and learn a language. And just there's just so many things. And even when I try to comprehend my life without my mission or all those experiences and people I wouldn't have met if I wouldn't have chosen mission, it just would have been so heartbreaking. I remember actually there was one time in my mission where I was having a really, really hard day, and I was just, we were riding our bikes, and I thought, popped into my head, I said, like, what if I wouldn't have come here? Like, what if I would have just stayed home, which wouldn't have been a bad option, you know, to go to school or anything, that wouldn't have been a bad option at all, but I just thought of that, because I'm like, what if I would have just stayed home, and I wouldn't have to be going through this right now? And I were looking, I was following my companion, it was Sister Johnson at the time. And I remember just looking at just her. And I was like, if I wouldn't have come on my mission, I wouldn't have met Sister Johnson. And that like broke my heart because I love her so much. And that was just one person. That was just one of my companions. And then there's your mission president. There's all the people you meet in Japan. There's your districts. There's the mission. And then not only that, but your family is strengthened as well through your service. And so when you put it into that perspective, those eternal relationships that you create on your mission, then everything is worth it in the end.
Well said. Now, the second part of that question was, why do you think God accepted your sacrifice? How do you know?
Yeah. It's definitely something you think about at the end of the mission, whether you did enough. And I think it's hard because I remember looking back, I'm like, oh, I wish I would have talked to that one extra person that one day, and or I would have wish I would have done this a little bit better and stuff. And I realize you can't do that to yourself. And the Lord knows how much you tried. And He doesn't expect us to be perfect. And I think I knew that I did what I needed to do because I felt peace at the end of my mission. I knew when I was going home that it wasn't the end of my mission. And I think it would have been really hard. It would have been a lot harder if I felt like I still had a lot of work to do in Japan. But I knew that I did the mission that the Lord wanted me to do, and just to keep on going. And just the spirit, I guess, that I felt as well at the end of my mission, just doing like my last testimony, it just felt right. Not that I totally wanted to come home. I loved my mission with all my heart, and it was really, really hard to come home. I knew that it was time, and I knew that the Lord was like pleased with the sacrifice that I made. And I think it was just because I felt it in my heart, because I prayed for it. I asked if that was what I needed to do. And I guess just through the Holy Ghost, I felt that comfort, and that's what I needed at the time.
Thank you for sharing that. If there's anything that you would like to say to the people who'd be listening to this podcast, what would you say to them?
I guess to people who maybe are thinking of missions or cancer missions or anything with missionary work, I would just say you can be a missionary wherever you are. And if you have the opportunity to go on a mission, then go, because you will not regret it, and it will be specifically for you, and it'll be more than you can ever imagine. And for those of us who maybe it's not our time, or we don't feel it, or whatever the case may be, we can still do missionary work. I didn't realize how important members were until I became a missionary. I was like, wow, it really is the members who are pushing this work forward. I'm just there as a tool. And so when we work together with missionaries, and that's when the work really progresses, and we can still share those amazing truths that we've learned, whether we're wearing a badge or not. And I think for people who maybe don't know a lot about missionary work, or maybe who are listening and don't know a lot about the church or anything, I would just say to start from the beginning and to know for themselves who God is and who's Jesus Christ, and to create that relationship with them, because it's a real thing and they are real people and they love them and they want you to come unto Christ, wants you to come unto him, and he has a perfect plan for each of us so that we can return to our Heavenly Father. And even though there's hard and there's trials and there's hardships, everything will be worth it in the end. And I think it was like that with my mission, even though there were hard things for sure, and there were days that I didn't think I could keep going, it was all worth it in the end, and God was with me. I'm just, no, even though it's hard, missionary work or not, it's just always worth it. But I would just say that Heavenly Father knows each of his children. He wants them to come home. And whether we're helping and we can help others and ourselves come back to him, whether we're wearing a badge and we're serving, or we're helping our friends who aren't part of the church, or it's ourselves who haven't been learned about the gospel, but to come unto him and just try it for yourselves. And I promise you that you'll feel his love, and you'll know why missionaries want to go out and teach about it, because it's so amazing.
Thank you so much for sharing that with us.
Yeah,
and thank you so much for coming in and joining us today on the Family Story Podcast. It's so great to hear that perspective of a missionary.
It was fun. Thank you.
We want to thank our listeners for joining in as well. And we hope you join us next time for Family Story Podcast. Thank you for joining us today on the Family Story Podcast. We hope you enjoyed this episode. The Family Story Podcast is a production of Harmony Audio Recordings. This podcast is strictly prohibited for use without permission. For more information about Family Story Podcast, or to create your own Family Story Podcast, contact us at familystorypodcast.com. We hope you join us again soon, and encourage you to go create a family memory today.